sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace.
Attempt. You know, here's what happened. I asked Mo to pick out all the hymns for the rest of the year because Mo's leading the hymns, and so these are all the hymns that he picked. now that he's not leading the hymns, I have no clue what we're doing. So it is what it is. But you know what? That's honestly, I like that because it forces you to do other things that you're not naturally used to. A younger me would have cared. An older me doesn't really care. As long as we get the job done, that's all that really matters. But we had 13 soul winners out with us today. So before I go into the announcements, I just want to get the numbers. Does anybody, because I didn't get them all. Did you guys get any? Yep. You guys got one, and you got one, right? And then I got two.
Yep.
So that's two, three, four, five. So we got five more souls for the afternoon.
Amen.
Oh, wait, six. Six souls for the afternoon. So in the last couple of weeks, we've really kind of, we're now at 170 for the year once we tally those numbers up. So that was great. It was not that hot, but it was really humid. So it didn't matter because it was that hot. But if you open your bulletins, today is July 27th. And our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening is at 4:30 p.m. Wednesday service, 5:30 p.m. And then our soul winning time on Sundays is 2 p.m. The memory chapter is Hebrews 1, and the verse for this week is Hebrews 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And so right there are soul winning numbers. I just updated that. And then I wanted to make a couple of corrections. So a couple of things I want to, not only did we say Brother James is with us, and that's the thing, we've had like five James come through this church, and your name just left me for a second. But we also have Gabriel and his wife, Lauren. Lauren is Mo's sister, and she was kind enough to correct me. So Aubrey's birthday was on the 22nd. Lauren's birthday was yesterday. So we're going to remind me, we're going to sing happy birthday to Lauren. I won't ask how old she turned, but she's still young, so she's probably 21. You know, so we'll keep it at 21. That's my go-to number for everybody. I know you're not 21, but 21 is the age that I just pick for everybody. You know, I think you're a little bit younger than that, right? Yeah. But you know, when you're younger than 21, you want to be 21. And then when you're older than 21, you want to be 21. So 21 is a good age. And then we have the upcoming events for Spring Crest, August 22nd. We have Pastor Steven Anderson. He'll be guest preaching for us that Friday afternoon. I'll get you more specifics. It just happened Wednesday, so I don't have all the specifics. August 23rd is we have a soul winning marathon the next day. And of course, we have church on Sunday. And then we also have the men's retreat. So any of the men that want to join, Pastor Shelley did invite us for Steadfast. I'll be there 14th through the 16th. And then the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. And, you know, this year there was no Red Hot Preaching Conference, which is what one of the major conferences that we've had for several years in our movement. But this is just as good, you know. So I would just encourage you. Yeah. You know, California had all the good conferences for a long time, but now it's time for Texas to bring them back. Anyways, everything's always bigger and better in Texas. So that just gives you an idea of what's going to happen there. And then we have the Mexico Soul Winning Missionary Trip, September 8th through the 12th. And then I think we've got all the prayer requests on the back. I do send out the text and the emails regularly. If you're not getting those, just see me after the services. But also with that, if you want to update or remove anybody, and people have been sending me that, a lot of these new ones actually are people who are just responding. That works the best because I can just get it all done in one fell swoop. Actually, I prefer it that way because when you guys tell me here, sometimes I forget the bulletin and then it won't come on, you know, for a while. But I think we've got everybody in there. And if nothing else, let's sing our next hymn. What's the next one?
It's the same.
Okay, I don't know. I've never been, so.
Oh, it's the same place that we paid on to. It's in there, Glen Rose.
Okay.
I'm sure you can find the address for you.
Yeah, I need to reach out to Pastor Shelley. I know he's busy, so I... What was the number?
198.
Okay. 198. Let's turn our handles over.
About the pastor coming to preach, Pastor Anderson?
I did say that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. He is coming. And we actually... I will make announcements leading up to it. I'll send out some text. But, yeah, if we definitely... It's actually good. Well, I'll talk about it here in the sermon. You know what? Forget it. I'll just talk about it now. We actually ran into someone who used to serve at Spring Crest many, many years ago when they were going to Sunday school. Brother James was giving them the gospel. And then he's like, oh, did you guys reopen the church again? And he's like, no, the church has never stopped. But what happened, he's like, oh, I used to drive by and didn't see that many cars, and now I'm seeing way more cars. So the fact that we're getting more people is a blessing to the area. They're taking notice. So, you know, it's just been a huge blessing to the surrounding areas. I don't know if the guy was saved or not. He sounded like maybe he's just gotten off the beaten path. But he said he'd come visit us. And Pastor, he said nothing but good things about you, Pastor Cobb. So that was actually you too, Sister Linda. He said, I didn't know this. Pastor Cobb used to bribe the kids to come to Sunday school with McDonald's. He said, I said bribe. No, but he used to get a McDonald's and they love coming. And he said that Pastor Cobb, just in case you guys ever doubted his hard preaching, he said that as the kid, if you were falling asleep and he was preaching, he'd bang the pulpit to wake you up. So he was telling us some good stories. He was telling on you. Well, let's turn our hymnals there to page 198. There shall be showers of blessings. I don't, you know, we'll just go. Let's just go for it. Thank you. sun's refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of precious reviving again over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Let's turn our Psalms. It's Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Mo, I want to hear you because you're going to have to help me.
You will.
I did bad this morning.
Oh,
All right. And I want to thank Lauren for stepping in and playing for us. I appreciate it. And then if you'll still remain there, we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Her birthday was yesterday, not 21. But let's go ahead and sing happy birthday on the first. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Amen.
Thank you.
Happy 21st.
So turn your Bibles over to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. And if I get Brother Mo to just take up the tithes and the offerings. 1 Samuel 21. I mean, did I say 21? 1 Samuel 1. I apologize. 1 Samuel 1. We're there in 1 Samuel 1. And let's just start there in the first verse. It says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Sophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship, the Lord there. Pastor Cobb, will you pray for the message?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for you again this evening for your goodness toward us. We're thankful for this another day. You allowed us to perform as a word. Father, we're thankful today for the reports of especially of souls being saved.
Amen.
We pray the Lord you continue to bless this ministry as a church, for we know that that's where the church is. Ask now the Lord to be with Pastor Ricky to stand before us. Touch the hearts of those that are here with your word. Forgive us now our sins, in the name of Jesus,
for
his sake we ask.
Amen. Well, we're there in 1 Samuel, and even before we get started, let's just set up a little bit of the stage. But the title of the sermon this afternoon is, O Lord, I Pray Thee. O Lord, I Pray Thee. And it's really the doctrine of personal petition, right? We've been talking about prayer all year, and the reason I didn't just do an entire series week after week is because I would think that it would just get a little repetitive, and then I'd lose you. So I figured I'd space it out to make sure that, you know, it was fresh and new, because talking about prayer, at the end of the day, there's a couple of key things that you do in prayer, right, that we're going to cover everywhere. But there are certain types of prayer, certain things that, you know, we can do when we come to the Lord in prayer. And today we're going to specifically focus on personal petitions, which is probably the most common way people first learn to pray. I mean, this is just based on my experience. I've not done like this, like a Gallup poll or anything like that. But if you were to ask people, most people probably learn to pray asking the Lord for things. Like, that's the first way that people come to the Lord in prayer, right? I mean, if you ever hear a child pray, what does a child do? Dear Lord, and then they'll pray for their toys, and thank you for my puppy, and thank you for my best friend. You know, I have 3 young children, and all of them have gone through that. Well, I have one that's 2.5, so when she starts praying, it'll probably be very similar. But they kind of pray a combination of what they hear mommy and daddy do, and then what they're thinking about, you know, at that day. And sometimes it's, you know, their little toy that they just got, or some cartoon that they're waiting for, or some gift that they want. You know, isn't that just the natural? I mean, even my kids, don't you have to untrain them? My parents on my side, well, both grandparents spoil them, but my parents are Hispanic, so they especially spoil my kids. And my wife knows I'm not exaggerating. My daughter was 2. My oldest daughter, who turned 9 today, was 2. And at the doorstep showed up one of those electric, you know, like, driving cars. And I was like, I called my parents. I'm like, my daughter's 2. Like, she can't even reach the pedal. Oh, don't. We love her so much, you know, type of thing, right? It's just, yeah, it becomes one of those things. But so then the kids, we've had to train them not to just expect things from grandpa and grandma, right? And it's the same thing when we come to the Lord. You know, obviously the Lord's going to provide, and he tells us to ask and not ask amiss. But that's, you know, that's not the very first instinct as a mature Christian that we should go to. But that's not an instinct that should ever go away. You know, the Lord wants us to come to him in prayer and to ask things that we need, right? It's just that we need to learn to ask things in what? In his will. And if you look at this, I mean, I think it's great, even just setting this up before we go into it. Just as I was reading it, what stands out here, there's a couple of things, right? Hannah wants a child, and she's got an adversary, right? It's interesting, because when we want things for the Lord, and we're in the Lord's will, what are we going to face? Opposition. There's always going to be an adversary for anything that we want to do, right? I mean, even the comment that guy made, I didn't hear it, but that he said he thought that the church was dead. You know, from the outside, it looked dead, but Pastor Cobb and I both have prayed that the church would just get more people again. It was just a cycle of life. It had nothing to do with whether we stopped preaching the Word of God. It had nothing to do with whether we were unwilling to go out there and sow in. It was just part of life. You know, I've done more funerals than I've done weddings. I've literally done 1 wedding in my life. The couple's here. Like, that's it. But ask me about funerals. I mean, I even preached an entire sermon on funerals just because I've, you know, touched the subject so much in the last couple of years, right? And then we see here that Hannah is really committed. And I love this statement before we go into it, because it has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just want to point out how great the Bible is and how things stand out. Right there in verse 16, you know, Eli comes to her and he's like, hey, why are you drunk? And she's like, wait a minute, I'm not drunk, I'm just praying. And that's a very common, you know, I remember growing up seeing my grandma. Now, my grandma was Catholic, but I remember seeing her just kind of whisper to herself as she was praying. Who's ever seen, and I've seen it more in women than men, like they'll do that. Or who's ever been in a prayer circle and you kind of hear the whisper of, or somebody's moving their lips a lot, and it's kind of throwing you off. So I can see why Eli would be thrown off. It just looks weird. But I love what she says there. She says, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. You know, we don't just preach against drinking because we just want to be teetotalers. Because the Bible, I mean, she literally says, hey, you think I'm drunk because I'm a daughter of Belial. Don't confuse the issue. I'm not a daughter of the devil. She says, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. I just wanted to point that out. I think it's interesting that Hannah thought, oh, this guy thinks I'm drunk. And he thinks I'm a devil, right? I mean, he didn't say that, but she, like, drew all this information out of it. And she's like, that's not what it is. And obviously, we know the story. This is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. This gives us the introduction to Samuel. As a matter of fact, in chapter 2, we have one of the most famous prayers in the Bible. That prayer actually is in another sermon, because that prayer is actually a prayer of thanksgiving, not a prayer of supplication. So we're just focusing on the prayer of her petition or supplication today, because what we're going to do is we're going to, and I have several points for you today, but what I want to look at is just the fact that how do we come to the Lord in petition? How do we ask stuff of the Lord? What would our petitions look like? And the verse that we want to focus on is that, right? She says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. And of course, this verse captures like the heart of her supplication, right? The burden, like she really wants a child. But what I like about, you know, a lot of women want children, but she wants a child for the Lord, right? And she even lent him to the Lord. And I like the way the Bible words that, because a lot of people take offense when we say, like, for example, oh, I led someone to the Lord. And they're like, you're just trying to take the credit for this. Well, Hannah took credit for God answering her prayer. And then she's like, now that you've given me this child, my child, I'm going to give it back to you. Now, we all know in the context of the Bible, everything comes from the Lord. But even Hannah's just like, I'm so grateful, I'm just going to give it back to the Lord. Right? So the first point I have for you today, and I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna go through, I have seven quick points for you. Some of them are a little bit longer than others, but the first point is just the nature of a petition. Like, what is the nature of how we come to the Lord, right? And I think, first of all, obviously it has to be personal. I mean, it can't just be a selfish thing, but it is a personal thing. There is a difference, right? I have personal petitions for the church, for my family, for our ministry, for just how I want to grow in the Lord. But there's a difference between that and saying, hey, Lord, you know, give us more tithe so I can buy a Ferrari. Like, that's just selfish. You know, and there are preachers that preach that. I mean, literally, I wish I knew his name, because it's not Kenneth Copeland. You were talking about false preachers. Who's that southern fat guy that looks like Porky the Pig? That guy that's always like, the Lord... Huh? No, he's some other guy. He's always like, he's got a real southern accent. He's like, the Lord told me to get, you know, a jet. Duplantis. Yeah. He's horrible. Like, who's ever seen his stuff, right? He's like, you know, the Lord wants me to pray for a house. You know why I got a big house? Because I prayed for it. My house is bigger than your house. Like, what a jerk. Like, if I was in his church, I'd just walk out. Like, he says stuff like that from the pulpit. That's not the nature of the petition when we come to the Lord, right? We want to come in humility, and we want to come in fear of the Lord. We want to have this just, I guess, this state of just, you know, when John came to, what I think about when you come to the Lord is like when John is introduced in Revelation, what happens? He sees the Lord and he fell to the ground as one that was dead, right? It needs to be like that. Like, in my opinion, I think we've gotten away from the fact that when we come to the Lord, it's a serious thing. He's God Almighty. Like, it's not just like, yeah, he's our Father, and he says we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and my children have access to me. But you know what? My children should also know that if they mess around, you know, there's something to fear. And they know that, right? That doesn't mean that they live cowering in fear, but they know that I'm loving, but that I'm also not just going to give them every whim of their desire. It's the same thing with the Lord. We need to come to the Lord with a proper attitude, right? And there is a difference between a supplication or a petition. And what I'm talking about is personally what you want the Lord to do in your life. I'm not talking about praying for others. That's an intercessory. That's a whole other. I still have like two or three more types of prayer sermons that I'm going to bring here in the future. But if you'll turn over to Genesis 32, we see this type of petition that comes in Genesis 32. We see Jacob. We're there in verse 1 of Genesis 32, and it says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom." And what's going on here is Jacob's now left Laban. He's running into all these, I guess, supernatural encounters, but he's also going back to his land, and he's trying to basically set the stage so that Esau is not coming at him with a negative attitude, because last time him and Esau were together, it was pretty contentious, right? He took his birthright. He took his blessing. He took his birthright. He took his blessing. It was under deceit. Like, this is not a great situation, and Jacob remembers that, right? And it says here, "And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servant and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in thy sight.' And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with thee.'" Now, I think the reason that Jacob gets scared here is because his servants aren't very bright. And I can understand this, and I'm not being a jerk, but I have people that I employ, and sometimes they'll call me, and they're like, "Enrique, I need to tell you something." And I'm like, my heart drops. "What?" And they're like, "Oh, no, I just want to, like, give you an update on the day." I'm like, "Well, we need to change our tone." I thought, like, somebody was like, you know, we're losing a client, or we lost some money. You know, these guys just came, and they're like, "Jacob's coming, and he's coming with 400 men." And instead of delivering the news, I don't know what's going on here, but if Esau is already coming in a good attitude, I'm pretty sure he portrayed that, and they delivered it like, "This guy's coming to get you," right? And we see this here. He says, "And the messengers returned Jacob." Oh, we saw that. Verse 7, this says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two bands and said, 'If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and O God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant with my staff. I passed over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear lest he will come and smite me and the mother with my children.'" And of course, this is an extreme situation, but isn't this one of the most common ways we come to the Lord in petition in a time of need, right? I keep going back to, I won't spend too much time, but I remember 2001 when the Twin Towers were struck. And a lot of you, you know, if you're 21, you might not remember. I'm just kidding. But you wouldn't remember for long, right? It was 2001. Man, that's 24 years ago that the Twin Towers went down. And one of the things that I remember was, though, what happened to the country? Those of you that are old enough to remember, everybody was like bowing basically at the feet of God, right? They were praying that, you know, he would spare us from what we thought was an attack on our nation. In the first few days afterwards, it all just went downhill, but that's a whole other sermon for another day. But isn't that what usually happens? I mean, I've had times where I've just felt like complete anguish or fear, or I thought things were going wrong. And what do? You come to the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that, and it's very common, but we should always be coming to the Lord. And I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that Jacob was close to the Lord. And so this carries more weight, in my opinion, that if we only seek the Lord in times of trouble, right? Most people don't pray. Most people don't spend any time reading their Bibles. Most people don't go to church. But man, the minute things go awry, they come to the Lord, right? But for us, this should just be part of our life. When there is trouble, We can come with a petition and remind the Lord, hey, you said you would never leave me nor forsake thee. You said that as long as we do your will, you're going to deliver me. Well, I need you to deliver me now, Lord. Like, I need deliverance. Because life is that, right? It's a roller coaster. It's ebb and flow. Some days are good. Some days are just bad, right? Go over to Psalm 55, and I'll read for you really quick in Jonah 2. But even Jonah, remember Jonah, where is he? He's in the belly of the whale. It says, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. And we were just reading verse 7. It says, when thou, my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And again, I just want to point out, that's usually what we do, right? He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Because remember, he's running away from the Lord. And so we don't want to do it like that. We want to do it more like Jacob, where Jacob is close to the Lord. I mean, Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And then he's coming and he's saying, hey, I wanted to make things right with Esau, and now I'm coming into the situation, and I need you to spare me. What did the Lord do? Of course, he spared him, you know, if you know the story. But go there to Psalm 55. I love this prayer here in Psalm 55. And the Bible says in verse 1, it says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is it just deconstructs and basically exposes everything that we've learned wrong in the world, right? A lot of people would be uncomfortable if someone prayed like this. I mean, really, you know, these are the things that we learn, you know, oh, you shouldn't pray like that, or you shouldn't say those things. But the Lord's like, we can call the Lord out. Look, it's the Lord. He's not, like, sensitive, right? The Lord can handle anything we throw him. He's God Almighty. He's perfect. But number two, he wants to hear from us, and he wants to know that we're crying out loud. Lord, where are you? Like, I love this. This is, give ear to my prayer, God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. And this makes a lot of sense if you've been following the series that I've done on prayer over the year, because there are prayers, there's times when the Lord will not hear that. And I like the psalmist, he's like, give ear unto my prayer, or to my prayer. He's like, let me make sure I'm clear. I've cleared up everything that I need so that you will listen to my prayer. Because the Lord will not listen to certain prayers. Go down to verse 16. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. And we go down to verse 22. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Man, these are great verses. Just remind yourself, when you come to the Lord with this personal petition, and usually a petition of this magnitude, I'm talking about when we come to the Lord in our time of need, we can just know that he will listen, and he expects it. He's not like in shock when we come in despair. I mean, these are pretty strong words. It says, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life, I love the Bible where it says that, you know, Jesus hears our groanings, right? He makes intercessions for us, because that's made my prayer life so easy. Because you know what? When I was a young man, there was times where I didn't know how to pray or what to pray. But now, as someone who's a little bit more mature in the Word, sometimes I don't know what to pray. And I'm just like, Lord, I don't even know what I need to say here. So you already know what I need. Please, just fill the gap. Like, I don't know what to do here. Right? So the nature is that it's a petition, but it's a petition what? According to, you know, we started with Hannah, in God's will. And there is a huge difference. We need to be careful. And I mean, I know I use the exaggeration of like asking for a Ferrari, but sometimes we're not asking for a Ferrari, but we're asking for other things that are completely out of God's will. And then we wonder why God's not answering our prayer. And it could just be little things, right? But the Lord does answer prayers. You know, I'm going to give you a couple examples, some tiny ones that seem insignificant to maybe other people, and then I'll give you some big ones, right? I'll start out with a tiny one. I had braces for 8 years. I had really bad teeth. Like, my top teeth were removed. My dad is a doctor, so he had a friend who's a dentist in Mexico. We did it like old school, like the dentist would cross the border, and he started to do all my dental work in my grandparents' living room. Like, he would bring this little gas, you know, on wheels. And I mean, one time they took out four teeth in my parents' in my grandparents' dining room with just like old school injections. You know, now they put you under. I remember, I could still to this day, if I think about it, I can hear the crackling like that, you know, as they're pulling the teeth out and all that stuff. So for me, my teeth is not a cosmetic thing, but it's just like, man, I suffered through all of that. And recently, in the last 2 years, one of my bottom teeth just like really just, it moved back. You know, as you get older, your teeth move. That's why they give you like a lifetime retainer, which I didn't go through the traditional way, so I don't have one. And I was telling my wife, I was like really frustrated with it. And I was like, you know, it's not a cosmetic thing. It's just, I just wish that it, all that work, like I put all those years into it, and now it's just like my teeth are just getting jacked. You know, it's just, it really just was annoying. But I was like, you know what? Whatever, it is what it is. I'm not going to pay. Because, you know, if you look up those subscription services, it's like several hundred dollars a month. And it's really just vanity. Like, you're putting a retainer, it's just to fix it. And I'm like, I've got kids and we've got other expenses. Like, if the Lord provides, I'm like, Lord, if you want to, just give me extra money and I'll just fix my teeth. If not, you know, it is what it is. Well, my wife, being who she is brilliant. And she went out and did a bunch of research, but for other reasons. I don't even remember. I think it was for the kids because she's trying to avoid getting them braces. And, or not for so long. Because I don't know if you know anything about the dental industry, but it's kind of a scam. But that's a whole other sermon. But she found this guy who apparently figured out some geometric thing about the mouth and just the way that, you know, our genetics aren't the way they are and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, she's like, hey, I found this thing. It's a mouth guard and it's going to fix your teeth. And it's only $25. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, and I was like really worried about Lucy's teeth. And I said, well, we'll give it a try. But if not, we got to get her to the dentist because she had lost her teeth, two front teeth. One wasn't coming in. So she gets the mouth guard, and like literally the next day, her tooth cuts. And I was like, well, this thing's cool. It works. I was like, well, get me one. I want one. And I thought it was a joke. 2 months into it, that tooth that's jacked is almost to the front for an investment of $25. So is that the Lord? I believe so. Like, I told the Lord, I'm not doing it for vanity. Like, I'm not trying to hit on any women. I don't care if women think my teeth look great or not. She does not care. My wife doesn't care. It's really just, it just bothered me that I spent so many, because you have no idea. Like, if you had braces at any point in your life, it's painful. Well, imagine doing that for 8 years. Like, I shifted all my teeth. I mean, I had all four wisdom teeth pulled out at the same time. I remember my cheek swelled up like out to here. And there's a character in Mexican, did you ever see Chespirito, El Chavo del Ocho? You didn't? There was a character called Kiko, and he had these big jaws, and my family was making fun of me because I looked like that character. Like, I mean, I just went through it, so I know what it is to suffer through that, right? And so for me, the nature of my petition was just that I just was like, this sucks, right? Like, I went through all this. But whatever you want, Lord, if it's a thorn on my side, it is what it is. But I really believe that was an answer to prayer because I was not asking for it for any other reason other than just, I just didn't want my jacked up teeth because I spent so much time working through them. I know that was a really long story, but you have no idea how much I suffered with my teeth for so long. I was 15 years old. Or 16, and then I finally got my braces off. It took me like 6 months to get used to the fact that I didn't have like metal in my teeth. I kept doing this number. I was like, oh man, there's no braces there. Like, it was that long. But go over to 1 Samuel 1. Go back to 1 Samuel. By the way, just keep your finger there. And so the point number two is that we want to look at the motive of the petition, right? And it really is just that we have a need in our heart, and it needs to be met, right? We want to remove that pride, and we want to remove any desperation of the need that we think we have, and let the Lord decide if that's really truly a need, right? Isn't that what we do with our kids? Oh, mom, I need that toy. You need that toy? Like, that's what you need? You know, who's ever had that conversation with their kids? You need a toy? You need a toy. Like, if you don't have the toy, you're going to die. Well, no. Okay, then you don't need the toy, right? You want the toy. You don't need the toy. And so we need to have that attitude. But, you know, you think about it, the Lord looks at us as children, and sometimes we come to the Lord and we're like, Lord, I need that toy. Obviously, spiritually, and he's like, no, you don't. He wrote, no, you don't understand. Isn't that what we do? Like, you don't understand, Lord. And God's not going to, you know, just, he's not going to give us everything, every whim of our desire. But go to 1 Samuel, we're there in verse 10, and she says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now notice she's not bitter, but her soul is experiencing bitterness, right? There's a difference. And she vowed a vow. And of course, we don't vow anymore, but this is Old Testament. And it said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look at, on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor upon his hand. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And so we already talked about that. But what I find interesting, what did we see a few verses earlier? Let me see if I can find it. They said that they went up there. We're in verse 10, so let me go down to verse... okay... Well, I don't want to spend all my time looking for it. But anyways, as she was going over there, it mentions what? Eli's sons, right? And it says that they were there. And so what I think is it's tying the story together, and it's also the providential work of the Lord. These guys were what? Sons of Belial, the Bible tells us. Eli's sons were just bad dudes. They were far gone. They're reprobate. There's no next generation. God's already set up the next generation. And, you know, Samuel was awesome. I mean, literally, Samuel hewn a guy into pieces, right? He cut up a king because they disobeyed the Lord, right? And Hannah is the start of this. So don't ever tell me that women aren't powerful. I mean, if it wasn't for Hannah, we'd have no Samuel, right? Go over to Numbers 11. Go to Numbers 11. I'll read for you really quick. Psalm 69 in verse 13. The Bible says, but as for me, my prayers unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Actually, this would be a great verse to just remember before you pray. Lord, my prayer is unto thee in an acceptable time. Hey, not my time, but your time, Lord. And you know what I learned? I used to hate hearing this from the older guys, but as I've gotten older, patience is a virtue. And everything will work itself out in what? In time. Man, I'm looking at all these young guys out here. If you can learn that lesson young, man, it would be a huge blessing. Because honestly, sometimes you just need to let things just work themselves out. The Lord just work them out. It says, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Go to Numbers 11. Here we have Moses, and it says that Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? What's going on here? This is when the people are complaining because they don't just like the manna, they want more, right? I mean, isn't that how people normally are? My kids right now, every night they're eating quesadillas because daddy taught them how to eat quesadillas the right way. I'm not talking American quesadillas, okay? I'm talking Mexican quesadillas. It's very simple. If you ever want to make a Mexican quesadilla, you just get a corn tortilla, you fry it a little bit, and all you do is put cheese. You close it in half, and that's it. No chicken and yellow cheese and, you know, cream cheese and lettuce and tomatoes. And that's not a quesadilla. I don't know what that is, but it's not a quesadilla, right? But every night they're eating it. You know what? I know it's going to happen in a couple of weeks. They're not going to want to eat the same thing, right? They're going to get a little bit annoyed of it. And that's what's going on here. And it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore thou hast afflicted thy servant? He's complaining. He's coming to the Lord. I mean, it almost sounds like he's complaining, but he's a little frustrated. It says, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of the hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it on upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And man, I don't think this is selfish. Obviously, the Lord answered his prayer, because remember, his father-in-law was like, hey, Moses, you're doing too much. So this is more than what Moses was already doing. You know, when people say, oh, God never gives you more than you can handle. No, God gives you way more than you can handle. And that's, I think, you know, one of the biggest detriments to modern Christianity is people believing God never gives you more than you can handle. No, God will throw everything and the kitchen sink at you, expecting you to come and say, Lord, I need your help. I mean, Moses is like, this is too much for me to bear, right? And that leads me to like the other kind of prayer that the Lord's answered. You know, for years, that guy, you know, and I was actually, this was part of my sermon, but he just even validated that ex-member, was that for years, this church has always had great membership. You know, Pastor Cobb has said something like, if we were to take the rolls, it'd be like 300-400 people. But then he always says, there, where are they, you know? But then when I showed up, the church, we ran about the same number we're running around, about 30 to 50 people. But they were at that time, they were way older. I mean, Brother Bobby was in his 90s when he passed away. Brother Tommy was, what, in his late 80s? I think he was almost 90, right, Brother Tommy?
No, Tommy was just in his late 70s.
Oh, late 70s. Well, but Brother Tommy, that's right. He lived a hard life, so he looked older than he was. I forgot. Brother Tommy was kind of hard. But we had a lot of people. I mean, Sister Golden, Sister Nancy, I mean, just everybody, Sister Jan Bobbitt, Brother Rudolph, all of them were there either in their early 80s, late 90s. I mean, they just kept passing away and passing away. And I just kept coming to church, and Pastor Cobb was like, I'm just praying that people show up to church so you have someone to preach to. And I was like, don't worry, Pastor, we're just going to keep preaching no matter what. But I would pray, and it's not because we want people just because it's fun, but we want people to do the work. And I mean, the selfish part of me is nobody likes preaching to an empty room. I'll do it, but nobody likes doing it for a long term, right? And the Lord's answered that prayer. Like, I don't think you guys are here by coincidence. That's an answer to not just my prayer, but the prayers of all the church members. Because it's not just Pastor Cobb. You know, there's been a lot of faithful, and they're still here. You might meet them, you might not, that have prayed and that have been faithful and diligent to Spring Crest. It's not like we just randomly had some people that came and never came. Spring Crest has some members that have been here longer than I have. You know, Brother Todd, he's been here, I don't know, what, 20, 30 years, something like that? Brother Todd Bobbitt? 40. While you think on that, I'll just continue. But he's been here a long time, right? Because his mom brought him. His mom just passed away. And Brother Todd's still going strong. Sometimes it feels like that. Like, that's why I relate to, I love reading the Bible, because I'm like, man, maybe I'm not Moses, but I can relate to Moses. You know, when you come to church and you have to just do everything in the church, and then you still have to show up, sometimes it feels like a lot. And I'm not, you know, by the way, this is not a pity party or anything. I'm just saying, it weighs on you. Like, some days I'm like, honey, it's 7 days a week. Like, I just want one day off. Not, I don't even need 2 days off like Americans who want the whole weekend. But the petition, the nature, you know, we need to come to the Lord humbly and ask for things according to his will. And, you know, we've always prayed that. Like, I told Pastor Cobb a long time ago, I said, look, I'm not here for anybody. I'm here to preach because the Lord asked me to preach. Obviously, I wouldn't be here for that. And if and Isaiah 6 is what always comes to mind. If I have to preach to an empty room, I will do it, and I've done it. But I don't think that's what the Lord has in store for us. But it's in his time, not in our time, right? But we can come to the Lord and just say, hey, I'm just wretched, Lord, and this is too much. This is a huge burden. Can you just please handle it? So we have the nature of the petition, and then we have the motive of our petition, and they both should line up. And at the end of the day, it should be God's will. It feels a little repetitive, but it's not. Because our nature should always be what? The only way we have a nature that's righteous is what? When we're saved. So not everybody that's praying is saved. That's number one. But number two, there are people that are unsaved that get their prayers answered. But those are the people that are what? Seeking after God. And I'll actually prove that from the Bible. right? And then you have the motive, right? Is our motive selfish or is our motive to serve the Lord? I mean, Hannah wanted children and then she got blessed with more children, but that first child was given to who? Back to God. Well, isn't that what Mary did with Jesus? I mean, you know, that's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And then we want to look at the language. And this is a really quick one, but if you look at what I'm sticking to here is, you know, I pray thee, right? Who are we praying to? To the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Almighty, right? In Genesis, you don't have to turn anywhere. Stay in 1 Samuel, but in Genesis 24, verse 12, this is a really quick point. But it says in verse 12, Abraham's servant, you know, when he sent out to find a wife, he said, and he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Hey, I pray thee, Lord. You know, people are praying to all kinds of people, but not the Lord. And you don't believe me, I literally have had conversations this year with people who are like, hey, you'd be proud of me because I started praying. I was like, oh, good job. You know, and I find myself praying to my dead aunt. I'm like, not a good job. Right? Aren't people praying to Mary and the saints? I mean, they did a, this is many years ago when I read this article, but they did a poll in the Catholic Church. And, you know, people pray to Jesus. You know where he showed up on that list? Number 16 at the time. Literally, people were praying to 15 other people before they were praying to Jesus Christ. So we need to pray to thee, God Almighty, right? In Judges 16, verse 28, Samson, right before he kills himself, says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And then in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 19, Solomon says, have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant. This is when he's dedicating the temple to the Lord. And to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. But who is the prayer to? It's to Jesus Christ. It's to God Almighty. And you say, man, pastor, like, you're in a Baptist church. I don't know. You know, I don't know what you guys are praying to, but let me just remind you who you need to be praying to. Because we get all kinds of weird ideas. You know, the longer I serve in ministry, the one thing that I actually stopped doing is I stopped taking things for granted. When I first started preaching, I just assumed everybody knew what I knew. Actually, I assumed people might even know more than I know. And then you start having one-on-one conversations and you go back to your, like, you know, the only person I talked to, my wife, I'm like, I didn't know. I had this weird conversation with someone. I thought they've been at church for a long time and they believe this stuff. I didn't know they didn't know this was in the Bible or that was in the Bible. Who's ever had that conversation with someone and you kind of clear something up for them? They're like, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Yeah, it's been there all along. It's never gone anywhere. It's been there since eternity past. You know, like, it's been there. So you want to pray to the Lord, right? Let's go to point number four, which is let's give examples of this type of petition, right? Because God does answer individuals, right? We've looked at the nature, we've looked at the motive, we've looked at the language, but let's see what, and see, this is what happens. I forgot to charge these. This is what I mean by, like, I'm just so busy sometimes. So all our lights are going out today. I thought I had charged them well enough, but I forgot to charge stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm just glad we have a connection there because I thought we forgot to charge the microphone as well. But in 1 Samuel, go to 1 Samuel, and there in verse 19 it says, in verse 19 it says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord, what, remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now go down to verse 24. Right? And it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord of Shiloh. And the child was young and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So we see what Hannah's prayer is answered. And I love going through Bible and just kind of sometimes simplifying things, because we just forget, hey, if we do A, sometimes we'll get B. Now, the reason I say sometimes is because, number one, you don't know all the time if you're aligned to God's will. And why do I say that? Because you're not always, if you're dropping the ball, you know, sometimes we let pride get in the way. Sometimes we think we're just righteous or we're being legalistic. But if you do know, just know God's going to answer your prayer. Look, if you're showing up to church and you're reading your Bible and you're doing it for the right reasons, you're going out soul winning and you're not doing it to brag to anybody, nobody, you're not calling people afterwards and be like, you know, I'm just awesome because we went soul winning. And I just, yay, did you know I just read my Bible today? People are like that. Who's ever met people like that? They're just always telling you how great they are about stuff. But if you're doing it in the right reasons, God will answer your prayer, but you got to do it for the right reasons. Go over to 2 Kings 20, and then we're going to be in Acts 10. Go over to 2 Kings 20, and right there in verse 1, the Bible says, "And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." This is one of the most famous stories in the Bible as well. It says, "And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." But I love Hezekiah's attitude, right? "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out in the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears." God's everywhere, by the way. He sees you wherever you are, right? "I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord." And of course, he's spared. He's given, what, 15 more years. Now, he messes up right away. Unfortunately, sometimes we do that. But the Lord heard his prayer and answered it. We go over to Acts 10, and this is where I'm going to prove to you that the lost can pray to the Lord and get their prayers answered, but it's a very specific prayer. In Acts 10, we have the story of what? Cornelius. And then in verse 1, it says, There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. By the way, here's a great way to tell people that salvation is completely by faith, because people are like, oh, you need to fear God. Cornelius feared God, and he was not saved. Said, and he prayed always to God. He prayed, but he was not saved. Hey, he gave alms to God, and he was not saved. What saved him? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We'll see this. It says, verse 3, "He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." And if we were to just go down to verse 31, it says, "And said..." He's talking to Peter once they finally meet, and he's telling the story, and he said, "And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are heard, are had in remembrance in the sight of God." Hey, there's a lost guy who's praying, but what is he praying for? He's praying for clarity on why he knows he fears God. He just doesn't have the whole answer. He's like, I know this thing about God is real. I don't know what it means. I'm kind of, you know, I need some clarity. And God sends who? Peter. And Peter leads, you know, a bunch of people to the Lord. And he actually does it illegally. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But I love this story because that's the only prayer that the Lord hears from the lost. I mean, if you guys could prove me wrong, I'm all for it. But when I search out the scriptures, these are the, you know, you have the Ethiopian eunuch, you have Cornelius, and they're both kind of lost. But they're searching, and God sends someone to lead them. Hey, it's not a coincidence when we lead people to the Lord. They don't have to say it. They don't have to say that they were praying that somebody would send somebody their way. If they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because they've been asking for somebody to be sent to say, hey, here's how this thing about what you've been asking for, you've been thinking about, here's how it goes. Yeah, that's right. I don't think, because people think about that stuff. Yeah. from very little. Like, kids will start asking about God and heaven and hell from very, very little, right? But God does answer those prayers. Next point is that we want to have what's the attitude that we want to have in our petition, right? And this is a word that's not popular in modern America, but we want to have an attitude of submission, right? It's not a demand in the sense like a petulant child is demanding something. It's a demand like, Lord, I know that you've given me all this, you've given me all this leeway. You've shown me that I can come to you under these conditions, but you're still submissive to whatever the Lord's going to do. I mean, isn't that what Hannah did? She's like, I'm just praying, whatever your will, right? Go to Matthew 26, and actually, let me see here. Go to Daniel 9. I'll read Matthew 26. Your petitions are not ultimatums, right? I mean, I want to make sure that you got the right attitude. We don't come to the Lord and be like, oh, well, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that. And if you don't do this, then forget it. That's not going to work. The Lord doesn't care about your tantrums. Just what he wants is you to submit. And you think that this might be, and it might feel a little bit simplistic, but I'm talking to the human nature side of everybody here today. And let me tell you, the human nature side of the people I'm talking to here today dominates, for the most part, your spiritual side. Literally, the Bible says there's a war every day because your human nature is exactly that. Your human nature. Right? I mean, there's literally thousands upon thousands of books written upon the psychology of humans and why they can't explain why people do what they do. And they try to explain it and say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that. And then randomly, they break rank. They're like, most people will do this, 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 and that if they show these traits. But we can't explain why all of a sudden they started doing this. Or vice versa, right? Because it's your human nature is to just have a bad attitude. Your human nature is to just want to complain and want to murmur and want to throw a tantrum. I mean, I've already said it and my son knows it. But my son is almost 8 years old, and I told him that I would use this, you know, but he's almost 8 years old, and they went to the doctor, and he threw a tantrum, like a four-year-old. And you're like, what happened? Human nature. Nothing happened. He's just an eight-year-old boy. Right. You know, you're like, well, he's eight. He shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, I know, but he's also human, right? You go to church, and people lose their crap. Like they lose their ever-living minds because you took down some flags or you changed the color of the carpet or the pulpit is not the same one that was last week or the pew that they sat in, somebody else is sitting. I mean, all kinds of weird. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. I mean, I know some of you maybe serve at bigger churches or different places. People lose their mind over the simplest thing, right? But then they want to go home and pray because they think they're some high and mighty, and then they have a wrong attitude about it. You're there in Daniel 9, but in Matthew 26, verse 39, the Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will. But is that what, I mean, Jesus left us the best example, right? Not his will, but God's will. I mean, there's so much to unpack here, right? Obviously, we see the Trinity here. We see God's, Jesus being human in the flesh, suffering like we suffer. We see the hierarchy, the submission. But right here for this sermon, Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but even then, he's like, whatever your will is, but not mine. But too many times we think we know best. You know, go to Daniel 9, and you're there in verse 17. And the Bible says, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. I mean, that's a good attitude to come to the Lord in prayer, right? But too many times, a young Christian will come and just be like, Lord, I need this, you know. How about, hey, Lord, just remember not my sins. Forgive me my sins. Be specific. I've already talked about this, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but be specific with the sins that you, not to anybody else. Don't be lewd. But God, I mean, if you were lewd in something, you think God didn't see it, just let him know. Like, be transparent with the Lord. You know, if you're a man, God wants you to be a man to the Lord. Like, man up. What does he say? Gird up thy, the loins. Gird up thy loins like a man. Yeah. Like, don't come at me. And, you know, and if obviously if you're a woman, don't be like a man, but woman up. I mean, women also hold women accountable. And sometimes if you get an older woman and a younger woman, sometimes that older woman be like, that woman needs to grow up, right? So, you know, it's just in a different context. Go, let me see where I'm going to have you turn real quick. Go over to Luke 22. That's where we're going to start closing this thing out. But in Habakkuk 3, verse 2, the Bible says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. But I love that. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Right? We want to come to the Lord and remind ourselves who we're dealing with. I mean, if you read through the book of Psalms, I mean, isn't that how it is? The next point I have for you is we have the power of this petition, right? And I've been talking a lot about that lately. But look, as saved individuals, we have a big responsibility because we have a lot of power. I'm not talking, you know, DC Comics or Marvel Comics power, nothing like that. I'm talking power from up above, right? We impact change at a level that we will never even fathom to understand until we get to heaven. And it's a big responsibility, and sometimes I think we don't recognize it, or if we do, we balk at it, or we just forget. It'd be better to just remember that, man, we've got a lot of power in our hands, and we need to do something with it. You know, you think those five souls, it's not only the fact that we saved those five souls, you just never know which five there's the next preacher, there's the next best soul winner, there's the next missionary. We don't know. For all we know, we hit one young guy and his life is impacted and now he's out. You know, Brother James, we were looking at the bulletin. I don't even know if I have it here with me. Maybe I put it somewhere else. But he's out there in the Philippines, and I know the guy who led Matthew Stuckey to the Lord. He serves at this church. I don't know if you know that, but Brother Mike led him to the Lord, or at least had influence in his life, never thinking that Pastor Stuckey would be in the Philippines. Now, yeah, I think he's been there almost a decade, right? Like, he's been there a long time. And this year alone, we were looking at the numbers for 2025. They've almost got like something like 12,000 souls saved. So you don't know that. You think that there's not a reward for the person that led that person to the Lord? It might not be as great, but there's a reward for that guy. Because, I mean, Pastor Stuckey, he had one of two choices. He could either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or reject it, right? And now, I think that's like the norm, right? It's like 10, 15, 20,000 every year. Literally, he's probably had hundreds of thousands of people saved under his ministry. All because some guy went up to him and said, hey, let me clear this thing up for you. And now he's on fire for the Lord. So there's power in the petition. I'll read for you these verses real quick. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, the Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, what? The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hey, we want God's glory in our house. We better pray right. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, this is probably one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Man, you know, Word to God, the one thing I always ask people to pray for me about is this, that I'm bold. And I used to shy away from that because it feels like maybe I'm saying I'm weak. But you know who prayed for boldness? Paul. Yep. He's like, hey, pray that I may boldly speak. In Ephesians 6, he says that, doesn't he? He's like, hey, I need some boldness. I don't feel so bold today, so you might need to pray for me. And we think Paul is like literally the greatest apostle to ever live, right? So if Paul needed it, I need it. You need it. And I'll do the same for you. I'll pray for boldness for you guys. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Bible says, I love these verses too. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, people love these verses, but then there's no context or foundation for these verses. Half the time, contemporary churches preach this stuff, and it's like all wrong. Right. They're telling you to pray for stuff that doesn't even matter. You know, I don't know. The pastor comes out on a roller coaster and then tells you that life is a roller coaster. I'm like, I wish I was exaggerating, but that's literally what some pastors have done in recent days, like in the last year or so. It's weird. Yeah. But that's a whole other point. But let's go to the last point. And you're there in, I don't remember where I had you turn, but you know where you, Luke 22. The continuance of the petition, and basically what's this, what am I trying to say here is, you know, we don't quit on prayer. We don't quit on the ministry. You just don't stop. Look, the word of God's not going to stop. So I wish there was two things that we would understand, and that I, as I get older, now I understand. The world does not stop for you. How many people have died in your life and you're still living your life, right? And you say, well, duh, that's easy to understand. Actually, it's not that easy to understand because most people think if they're selfish enough that the world revolves around them, that if somehow they went missing, everybody would be like, oh, well, we got to stop because so-and-so isn't here in church or here at work or what. You know what? Life moves on. I had an employee quit on me mid-Zoom. Like, she quit on me because she lost her mind. She sent me an email at the end of the day resigning. You know when's the last time I talked to her? Mid-Zoom. I didn't pick up the phone. I didn't call back. I just moved on with my life. Right? You know how many places I've left that I thought, you know, I'm affecting change. I help these guys make millions of dollars. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be. And it's probably true. Well, you know, I'm gone. And you know what they're still doing? Making millions of dollars under our systems. Making, you know, doing this stuff. The world... Well, then if that doesn't stop, then why are we going to stop doing the things that God's asked us to do? Because, you know, if you're not praying, then you'll just find someone who is praying. If you're not soul winning, then you'll just find someone who is soul winning and bless them. If you're not showing up to church, then you'll just find someone who is showing up to church and bless them. And then you'll wake up one day and be like, well, I don't know why the God doesn't bless me. You know, and be like, it's confusing. But go there to Luke 22, and we're there in verse 40, and it says, and when he was at the place, this is Jesus, you know, at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. This is one of the most interesting interactions in the Bible, because literally, God's like, Peter, you don't get it. Because what does Peter do shortly after this? He literally falls into temptation. If Peter would have just prayed, he wouldn't have fallen into temptation. God's given him the formula to not deny Christ thrice. He gave him the out. He said, tonight you're going to deny me thrice. And even then, he still gave him the out. He said, Peter, because he was one of them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them, but a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Hey, when the going gets tough, just pray harder. Don't pray less. Most people, what's human nature? Human nature is to escape, not to pray. That's why there's so much drug addiction and television addiction and porn addiction and all kinds of addiction. And then you say, what do you mean? if someone's doing something obsessively that's not based on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an addiction. You know, people collect Legos as an addiction. I mean, I've literally watched videos where grown men have an entire basement full of Legos. And you say, that's sad. Because you know what he's doing? I'll give you a psychological term for that. He's escaping the reality of life instead of facing it head on. Look, life is tough. There's days I don't want to face anything. I just go to the Lord in prayer. He's the only one that can get me out of this because life is really tough. You know, I'm looking at you young couples out there and all that stuff. And I always, you know, every once in a while you'll hear something, oh, this was tough or that was tough. And I keep thinking to myself, if they only knew, I don't want to rain on your parade, but it's just going to get tougher. I had a conversation, you know, Pastor Cobb rained on my parade, not in a mean way, but I was talking about how tough things were. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Pastor Cobb's retired. He's now preaching less, like, because he's served at the church. He handed the reins. Like, he's got, in most people's life, he's got an easy life, right? He's retired. He can do as he pleases. He can, you know, live life as he pleases. And so I'm talking to him. And I said, man, Pastor, the older I get, the harder it gets. He goes, it doesn't get any easier, brother. I was like, thanks, Pastor. You know, he's 88, and you think he's got it all. Like, he's just life's all, he's earned it, and it doesn't get any easier. So we need to pray. You know, prayer is the only thing that gets us out of this. In Psalm 55, verse 17, the Bible says, go back to Acts 4, and I'm closed out on that one. Acts 1, sorry. It says, evening and the morning and at noon will I pray and cry it aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We're talking on that, but the last one I'm going to have you close in, and this is where we'll close, is Acts 1. In Acts 1, they do a lot of things in accord. One of the things they do in accord is they pray. And in Acts 14, a verse of chapter 1, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. You know, at the end of the day, I know I said it's a personal petition, but we're personally what? Members of one body, the church. And at the end of the day, I'm asking you, if you're going to pray a petition, pray it in the right context, because your prayers affect my life and my prayers affect your life. And you say, that sounds selfish. No, it doesn't. I mean, even if it affects, I can't control you. I can't do anything about it, but there are consequences to the decisions we make in life. I always tell people the decisions are easy. Everybody can make decisions. It's like, you know, people say having a baby is easy. Taking care of that baby for the next 18, 20, 30, 40 years, that consequence is hard, right? So you better do it in the right context. Well, it's the same thing with prayer. Come to the Lord right or don't come to him at all. Because not only are you affecting yourself, but you're not an island. You affect other people, right? Our church is affected by the lives that you lead. Why do I preach so hard on sin? Because you guys need to clean up your lives so that our church can be better. It has nothing to do with just me. Like, you know, the greatest thing that we have is a church, outside of our families and our wives and stuff like that. But the greatest detriment to our lives could also be the church if it's not done in the right context. You know, my prayer is that we would have the right people, no drama, no false heretics. I know I'm not going to avoid them all, but the better we are, the core people, the easier it is to just expunge those people out, right? So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Just thank you that we can come to you in petition, in supplication, Lord, that we can ask willingly and that you will answer. But Lord, we do need to be reminded that we need to have the right attitude about it, that we need to be submissive to your answers, that we need to know that it's your will and not our will be done. And it seems oversimplistic, but honestly, Lord, it's like exercise. If exercise was easy, everybody would do it. If prayer was easy, everybody would do it. So help us to simplify the process with your word and to just be better prayer warriors for you, Lord, so that we could affect more change and be more powerful as this world just continues to decline. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then we have, it's okay. I'll 307? Let's do 307. Turn your hymnals over at 307. Thank you. I know that one well. So 307. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm the first.